Philippians chapter 4. Again, it was last month's memory verse. We should have it memorized. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. But you can't stop there, because it says, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, I've kind of called the sermon the answer to worry, and I don't know what else to call it, but we'll just call it the answer to worry. I don't know if you worry. I don't know if you call it that or if you want to call it that, but kind of looking here at worry this morning and what this verse has for us in the way of that. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I ask that you might be with us. Lord, that you might help us not to be people that worry, but Lord, to put our trust in a faithful God and realize that Jesus loves us and will take care of us. Lord, help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I'm going to fly on an airplane here on Friday. And I thought, well, I'm getting ready to fly this Friday. You look on the TV and you see an airplane that just wrecked, and does it shake your faith or not? You know, and you might come to me and say, well, but Pastor, does that shake your faith? Well, I don't know. How often does an airplane crash, you know, in America? Like every 20 years. So wouldn't this be the perfect time to go? Another one's not going to crash for another 20 years. Okay. So it's all a matter of perspective. It's like, have you ever been eating your soup in the morning and, you know, you got a spoon that's kind of got a drip on the bottom? What do? You wait for the drop to fall and then you immediately put it in your mouth, right? So the best time to go is right after the drop. So I figured, hey, I'm going to fly at the right time. After an airplane crashes, I'll go that week, because it should be 20 years till the next one. It's all a matter of focus of how you look at it or whatever. But again, I don't get worried about it, but it makes me think of the family that put their grandmother on a commercial flight for the first time. And sure enough, she was scared and she didn't want to do it and all that, but they finally convinced her to do it. And she flew, and when she was all done with the experience, you know, they came back and they said to her, they said, well, see, you know, you didn't have anything to worry about. You know, the plane was able to hold you up and it was okay. And she said the statement, no, not really. I never put all my weight down. Okay. And I kind of thought about that. I don't know what that means. Did she hold her hands on the seat? I don't know. I just never put all my weight down on the plane. I'm here to tell you that when it comes to this sermon, we have something better than an airplane that we can put our weight on. Casting all our care upon Him, who's that? It's Jesus. Jesus is enough, because He cares for you. Jesus is all we need. And so again, I'm here to talk a little bit about worry. I know the different statements about worry. I know that sometimes you hear people make statements something like this, you know, like 90, 95, or whatever the number is. 95% of the things that you worry about never become true, so you shouldn't worry. But a worrier will look at that and say, see, worry works. When I worry, 95% of the stuff doesn't come true. So it all depends on your focus again and how you're looking at it. So, again, I do want to look at worry, and I think this has again, these verses have some good things for us. Again, somebody defined anxiety, and I think this came out of the Reader's Digest. It says here, anxiety is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. And that's kind of the idea, that once we start concentrating on our worry, our anxiety, our carefulness, whatever word you want to use here, then after a while it just all over consumes us, and it's hard not to think of anything but that. When it says here it channels all other thoughts and they're drained, it'll keep you up at night, will it not? It's a terrible thing when it starts to consume you. So I don't know what word to use here today, whether to use anxiety, worry. I know the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful. That's the same word as worry. Okay, don't worry about things. Don't worry about these things. Again, we use other words like stressed out or a panic attack, do we not? We get stressed out, and again, maybe you have other words that you use, but these are common words, common things that we have around us. Again, psychiatrists, maybe you've heard of Minerith Meyer, they say that anxiety is the most common mental disorder that they encounter. Okay? Just anxiety. We know what stress can do to the human body. It tears it apart. People will tell you that. It can even cause heart disease when you allow stress to ruin your life and, again, just overconsume it then. So again, it's a problem that we have, and we need to keep going to the Bible and learning more about the God of the Bible that I believe that can help us. Again, when I would ask people, what do you worry about? What do you worry about? I don't know. I call this the big three. I think these are the three big things that keep us worried, do they not? And if you say something about, well, I worry about death, I'm putting that in health, okay? You know, we worry about finances, we worry about health, we worry about our children. There's other things, maybe they kind of fit in there, but maybe you find other things to worry about. Again, just the cares of this life, the cares of this world, just come in and they consume us, and again, it'll tear us up. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Who said those words? If you look them up, they're in red, folks. Okay? Peace. Let not your heart be troubled. And so, again, we need to make sure we're starting to focus. I did this 7 times just in the New Testament. God is referred to as either the God of peace, the Lord of peace, or the King of peace. And I probably realized that after I put this all up here, peace should probably be capitalized because it's a title for God. And we usually try to do that, so that's just my fault for not doing that. But again, Jesus is known, our God is known as the God of peace. All right? And so, again, why does it elude us so easily? Why is it that we worry so much and it gets away from us? Again, here's a statement about my sermon. Maybe we should read the statement. If you understand it, we'll close in prayer and go home. But I got more. Notice, to experience God's peace, instead of worrying, pray with thankfulness about every concern. Again, and the God of peace. He is the God of peace. And so, again, we need to stop worrying and we need to start praying, but it's not quite that simple. We'll get to a little bit more. Again, here's the outline. There are 3 key words in this verse that reveal the theme. When you look at Philippians 4, 6, and 7, I'm building this sermon around 3 words. The first one is, be careful. What's the word careful mean? Okay, it doesn't mean to go slow, take your time, don't break it. This is an old 1611 KJV word that means what? Don't worry. Okay, don't worry or be worriers. Don't worry. Be careful. Stop worrying. Okay, so again, this is a bigger word than what we use it today. Again, it's the word for anxiety and worry. The second one then is prayer. Key word, okay? But everything by prayer and thanksgiving, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then in the next verse, we find the other word is peace. So I just kind of put it this way, care, prayer, and peace. Somebody says, well, what was the sermon about today? Care, prayer, and peace. That's what it's about. Here's the outline that you're not going to see come back up again then, but it goes this way. Being careful is the problem we're told to put off. Okay, that's the problem. We get careful. We worry. We have anxiety. We get stressed out. And as Christians, that's the problem that we're told to put off. I'll talk more about this point. Number 2, prayer is the procedure we're told to practice. Okay, let's put off carefulness. Let's put on prayerfulness. And then finally, peace is the product we're promised by God. Again, it's very easy. When I came to this verses, started meditating on them, the outline just jumped out to me. Okay, again, put off the worry. Okay, put on the prayer, and then God gives the peace. That's what He does. Now, all of a sudden, I'm going to put point 1 in a different way, and maybe somebody will get a little angry at me. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to rephrase point 1 and put it up there. Are you ready for it? Don't get angry. Pay attention. Number 1, we must put off worry, which is, what's the last word? Sin. Okay, now, here's where I'm coming from. If you do not acknowledge that worry is sin, then you don't think anything needs to be done about it. Once you identify what it is, then hopefully as a Christian you'll say, now I got to fix it. Okay, it's not just a character flaw. It's just not something that I inherited. It's just not something that it's just prone to do for me all the time. No, worry becomes sin. And when it becomes sin, now here's how I do it. Once it becomes sin and we realize it, now we're going to be able to find Bible reasons and Bible help to fix it. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. This is Sermon on the Mount. So I tell people, if you're looking for letters in red, you won't find any more than here. Just last month, I believe it was at men's prayer breakfast, we were challenged by verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Notice then the next word in verse 25, when you finally get your mind figured out that you need to be centered on God rather than a man, than mammon, then there's a therefore. Notice what it says there. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Can you answer that question? Okay, I hope. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Can you answer that question? Notice what it says. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Another question. Can you answer it? Verse 28. Notice what it says. And why take ye thought for raiment? Another question. Can you answer it? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Can I stop and say this to you? At my house right now, all the lilies that nobody takes home at Easter time get planted in my gardens, okay? Now, my wife and I usually get one or two every year and go plant them, but then if you don't plant them, you don't take them from here by the time it's time to take them to the dumpster, I just take them home and plant them. I've got some beautiful lilies blooming right now. My yard is beautiful with all these lilies that people have left at the church or they didn't want them. I just go ahead and throw them in the ground, and now they're blooming. Beautiful. In fact, I have one that I think is going to have 13 blooms on one stalk if it comes this year, if it keeps coming. Amazing flowers. And I tell you that Solomon and all his money and riches is what? Not arrayed like one of these lilies. Again, God takes care of that. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? There's a question. Do you have an answer? Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Again, the concentration I would say in here is verse 30, okay? Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? And look at the last question. O ye of what? Little faith. Little faith. Again, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when people go to worrying, where's your faith? Also, the other verse that I would say we need to concentrate on, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I like this. What happens? All these things will be added unto you. They'll all be added. Okay? God will take care of us. I even tell people it's, you know, when I start thinking about America, the culture, society, the lifestyle that we live in America, again, I don't know sometimes that I meet anybody who's poor in America. I mean, when you talk about Bible poor, all right? I watch things, I see things. I know I saw an athlete the other day. I was watching a Wimbledon commercial and watching Wimbledon the other day. And by the way, it's probably on right now. I don't know. I was watching Wimbledon or whatever, and somebody came on and said, 1/3 of the children in America go to bed hungry. I'm like, what America do they live in? What America do they live in? I don't even know, okay? Wow. I remember at Christmas time and Thanksgiving time that they were putting on meals, and I was watching on TV where they had I don't know who it was. It might have been the Salvation Army. It was in a gymnasium in the Altoona High School, whatever, putting on this big meal for people. And the guy was out there talking about, yeah, we have so many poor people in Altoona that can't afford to eat, and so we put this meal on to let them know we love them, and all this. And in the background, I saw 8 people on cell phones sitting at the table eating their food. Now, I'm just telling you, do we really know what Bible poor is? Because in America, people still have cell phones, pay for the plans, and then say, I don't have enough to eat. I don't know how that works, all right? Bible poor, we're talking about here in Matthew chapter 6, people don't have any clothes to put on. Go to your closet and tell me you don't have anything to wear, okay? I don't know. If we didn't go to the grocery store, how long could you last out at your house with the food that's in your house? I'm dare to say that some of you, the answer is months. Now, you may run out of milk and butter, but you got stuff in freezers that, you got food for days and days and days. People in the Bible didn't even know when the next meal was coming. That's why we're talking about lilies and clothing. And that's why we're talking about sparrows and God takes care of them. Literally, there's people in the Bible. In America, we have such affluence that, again, as I look at it, what are we worried about? What are we worrying about? There are people in the Bible that Jesus was talking to. They did not know where they were going to buy clothes when they needed them next. And they had no idea where tomorrow's meals were coming from. And God said, don't worry about it. Jesus will take care of you. And yet we live in America and we're worried. Okay? Didn't Paul say, if you have food and raiment, therewith be what? Content. Food and raiment, therewith be content is what we need to be. Again, I put this up here. If we excuse our worries, we will not overcome them because we're not confronting the root cause of it. Namely, our sin and not believing God and not seeking first His kingdom and righteousness. Again, if you're somebody that's given to heavy worries and anxiety, again, let's label it. You serve a big God. Let's just put your trust in Him. Jesus is enough. That's all you need. He'll take care of all the other things that come our way. Again, I just go this way. If a non-Christian sees you as a believer weighed down with worry, he isn't going to ask you how he can have what you have. Okay? I think it causes a testimony problem. It causes a testimony. But on the other hand, when the rest of the world is running around, has no answers, doesn't know what to do, and they're the ones in panic attacks, and the Christians are living in what? Peace. Now we've got something to offer the world. Now we've got something to offer the world. And they say, well, how do you do it? When times are so hard, how do you get through? Let me tell you about my God. Let me tell you about Jesus. That's how we're going to get through all of this. Again, the peace Christ offers is the byproduct of enthroning Christ as Lord and living for His kingdom. As I put it this way, who's on the throne in your heart? Is it all about you? It's all about worries and what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Let's put the right king on the throne and let him take care of it. Casting all our care upon him, for he what? He cares for us. And he'll take wonderful care of us. Again, Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, if you want to go there, you may. This is in the parable of the sower and the seed, where he threw seed out there and it landed on different types of surfaces, if you're familiar with it. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, we're looking at where the seed fell and the interpretation of it. This seed is the seed that fell among the thorns. Okay? And the description is given, the seed that fell among the thorns. It says, which when they heard, they go forth, and they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Notice the things which choke at the word that was given to it, cares. That's the same word. Be careful for nothing. And we get all worried about cares. What are we going to do? What are we going to eat? I don't know how I'm going to get through this. You know what? Let's just trust a huge God that can meet all our needs. I come back to this then. In relation to Philippians 4:6 now, this means that what we have here is not just a simple formula. Okay? I want to make sure we know that in Philippians 4:6 and 7, it's not just a simple formula. Okay? This is not the formula. Okay? When you're worried, try prayer. This isn't it. If you're anxious, try prayer. That's not the formula. Does everybody see what I have up there? Okay? I'm not here to say, oh, do you worry? Do you have a problem with worry? Well, try praying. Okay? I think there's something that has to come before praying. Okay? It has to come before praying. What it is, here's what it is. If you're anxious, examine either your lack of faith in the living God who has promised to supply the basic needs of His children. Prayer's not going to work until we worry about this problem. Do you have a lack of faith in the living God who promised to supply all the basic needs of His children? Or do you think God's not that faithful? He's not going to do it. If somebody says to me, where's your next meal going to come from? I don't know. But I serve a big God. Again, I stop and think about just different stories in the Bible. I like the story of Elijah at the Brook Cherith. Again, now watch. He relied on crows to bring him food. How many of you would trust that system? And yet every day. But then all of a sudden one day the crows stopped coming and the water dried up at the Brook Cherith. Well, what are you going to do? I don't know. But I serve a big God. I'll just let Him take care of it. And sure enough, God came up with another way. So again, I'm not going to come to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. If you're worried, well, just pray. If you're worried, let's worry about your trust factor first. Let's just put all our trust right on Jesus and say, you got to take care of it. I like the idea of Hezekiah in the book of Isaiah. When he got a letter from the king of Assyria or the general of Assyria who basically said, every city we've ever attacked, we have decimated and killed everybody in it. What makes things you can stop us? We're going to do the same to you. And Hezekiah just took the letter, walked over to the temple, and put it down and said, you got a problem, God. I'm out of it. It's not my problem. It's yours. And that's the idea of what? Casting all your care on Him. He just took the letter and said, God, what are you going to do? And God said to Hezekiah, just listen to me, I'll tell you what to do. And sure enough, Hezekiah did exactly what God told him to do. And if you know the story, in one night, 186,000 Assyrians died, gone at the hand of the Lord. We serve a big God. What are we worried about? What are we worried about? So again, if you're anxious, let's just put the trust in a God. Or, here's the other one that we need to look at, okay? Examine your focus, whether you're living for Christ and His kingdom or for yourself. What are you living for? If you're living for Christ and His kingdom, some of the basic things that we don't have, we might find out we don't need them anyway. Jesus is enough. Let's just live for Him. He'll take care of us. David said, I was young, now I'm old. Two things I've never seen. He didn't say those words. I put that in there. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Wow. I've told you this story, but I walked up on a porch one time in Weaver Hollow out near Romola. And basically there was two old men sitting there, old codgers, tough old codgers. Can I just say that or whatever? There was a gun sitting between them. But I walked up on the porch, and as the young preacher in town or whatever, the one man looked at me and said, preacher, you have nothing you can tell us. We've lived long enough, we've seen it all. We've seen it all. And I just looked at the one man and very sternly said, no, sir. No, sir, you have not seen it all. You have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And you can live to be twice as old as you are, and you will never see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And those two guys were like, whoa, we've never had anybody like that talk to us. We usually scare people when they come up on our porch. You know? And I talked to them. Because you've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Again, put Jesus as king of your life. Live for His kingdom. And you know what? Just cast your care upon Him. Let Him take care of it is what we need to do. So again, as we just work at those things, we need to watch. Now, I am not here to tell you, okay, that basically life is just carefree and we go through, okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be. Who sang that? Doris Day or somebody like that, whatever. Okay, some of you are shaking your head like, yeah, I think it was her. Okay, maybe you haven't heard for a long time, isn't it? You know what? I don't go through my life like that. Okay, and I tell people, I try not to worry, but I am concerned about things. And that's maybe the difference that I'll have. Concern that I pay attention to them. I do the things I'm supposed to do. But I try not to worry. I know that my wife, she's not here, so we'll talk about her. I know that my wife sometimes says, honey, somebody's got to worry about this because you refuse to. You know, and I say, well, you're right about that. I'm just going to refuse to worry about this situation that's right here, right now. You know, I'm not saying that I'm perfect in that, and sometimes I do start getting a little anxious. But a lot of times, you know, I just say, well, Lord, you need to know. You need to just take care of it. I don't know how to do it, so I'm just going to wait on you. And so I got to do that. And again, my wife has gotten a whole lot better about worrying about things as she's seen God work in the past. And we say, hey, yeah, remember those situations? Well, let's just see what He can do now. And we'll sit back and glory in what the Lord can do. So first of all, we need to put off worry. Be careful for nothing. Put off worry. It's a sin. And let's put our trust in a big God that can supply all of our needs. Let's go on to number two. We must practice prayer with thankfulness about every worry. When a worry comes, hey, we're not going to worry about it. We're going to trust God. We're just going to take it straight to Him. We're going to go right to His throne. Again, the first thing that I have here, come on now, let's go. Prayer. Okay, if you look at Philippians 4:6 is where I am. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Okay, by prayer. Again, it's a general word. It's always used in reference to God with a nuance of reverence. I mean, this is what we want you to understand. When we're talking about prayer here, you are going into the absolute throne room of God to talk to Him. Do you understand its importance? I don't know who's the most important person I've ever talked to, worldly-wise. I tell people I shook Ronald Reagan's hand. He wasn't the president, and I never got to say anything to him. Okay? I just shook his hand. So I wish I could tell you I had a conversation with Ronald Reagan, but I didn't. All right? I was just standing there. All of a sudden, a door opened up, and guys in black suits came out. And it was those guys with black glasses, had their finger in their ear, you know, whatever. And they just kind of kept stand up against the wall. Yes, sir. Okay? We stood up against the wall, and next thing, Ronald Reagan came out, and he just said, how you doing? How you doing? And I just shook his hand, and I didn't wash my hand for 6 months or something like that, you know. But he wasn't the president then. But I shook hands with him. I don't know who's the most important person I've ever talked to. But when it comes to that, what's your demeanor? How do you talk to him? You're serious, are you not? And here we are going into the throne room of God, straight to the throne of grace. That's the opportunity we have in prayer to talk to the God of this universe, the Creator of all. And we have a chance to go talk to Him. That's really important. The person that we're talking to has the absolute power and everything he needs to meet our needs. We can't go to anybody higher than him. That's what prayer really means. Again, a word used with reference to God moving right into his throne room is where we're going then. The next word is supplications. Again, this word gives prominence to the sense of need and also looks at specific requests. This is where we tell God, here's some things that we need. I usually use the word supply with supplications. I need some things supplied here. And God, I hope you need to supply these. So it's a prayer list. We come to God with a prayer list. We're going to ask for things to be supplied to us and lay those things down at His feet. Okay. I go back to James chapter 4. You have not because you ask not. Well, let's get the list and let's get it ready to go. And see what God can do for us, because He can do wonderful things. We move from prayer and supplication to thanksgiving. I like thanksgiving. In a time of trials, it reflects three things. And this is three things I like. Remembrance of God's supply in the past. I like when we have testimony meetings. And most Wednesday nights, almost every Wednesday night, I ask, okay, who's got a praise? Who's got a blessing? Who's got a prayer request that's been answered or a testimony you'd like to give? And I do tell people that when you go back over what God has done, it tells us that He is able to do it again. But if we forget what He's done and we stop remembering what He's done, then it's not going to help us for the future. And that's why I like testimony. I want to hear what God's done for other people and what He's done in the past. And I used to tell people, when you start putting thanksgiving in the prayers, then you're telling God, You've already done things for us that are great. We know You will continue, which is kind of like point number two for me, okay, is remembrance of God's supply in the past, but it's submission to God's sovereignty in the present. God can handle all this. He knows what He's doing. He's absolutely very powerful. And again, God, I know You brought this into my life. I don't know why. I'm looking to find out. Maybe You'll share that with me. Maybe You won't. I know that You're trying to build me into the Christian that I need to be. You're trying to conform me to the image of Christ. And all things work together for good to them that love God. Lord, I know these things, so I'm going to submit to Your power and to Your sovereignty. And then it helps me to trust God's sufficiency for the future. It helps me trust God's sufficiency for the future. That, you know what, here's a time coming. Maybe it's going to be a little bit of a nervous time, but Lord, I know from my past and what You're doing in my present that this future is no problem for You, that You can take care of me. You can absolutely watch over me and take care of me. The last thing we have is prayer, and then we have supplication with thanksgiving, and then it says, let your requests. Again, it kind of goes back to the word of supplication is where it goes back to. Again, kind of a synonym, it overlaps with it. But again, emphasizing again, bring your petitions to God. Lay them at His feet. Because He can take care of us. He can meet needs. He can do things that we can't do. On Wednesday night, I did share one sermon. I know not all of you are able to make it there on Wednesday night. Some of you work in Bible clubs, you didn't hear it. But I serve a God that doesn't have lines. He doesn't have lines. And kind of what I'm talking about is, we kind of draw a line and say this: if God doesn't answer by this point, then all's lost. And I showed in the Bible how there's different times when basically a line was set, and God went beyond the line just to show you, you know what, you can't put lines on me. For example, dear Mary and Martha, when they came to Jesus, what did they say? If You would have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. What's the line? Death. God can do anything right up to the point of death. But once death happens, God, there's nothing you can do. So if You'd have been here, He wouldn't have died. You're 4 days late. There's nothing you can do. Somebody tell me the end of the story. God doesn't have lines. All right? He can do unbelievable. Okay? Over and above. All right? Now unto Him they keep a fine. Do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Let's keep bringing those petitions to God and don't say, well, God, if You don't answer by this Friday, then it's all gone. And God's probably going to look at you and go, I'm not answering by Friday. Because I want to show You I can do something on Saturday that You don't think I can do. Because I'm bigger than your thoughts. I'm bigger than what you think. Again, let's bring our requests, our petitions to God. He can do absolutely amazing things. Whenever you're worried, come to God. Come to God. I wrote down this little illustration that I found. A woman once asked G. Campbell Morgan, do you think we should pray about the little things in our lives or just the big things? Do you have an answer to that? She asked G. Campbell Morgan. He's a great preacher and Bible expositor. Do you think we should just pray about the little things in our lives or just the big things? What should we bring? And G. Campbell Morgan answered this. Madam, can you think of anything in your life that's big to God? I stopped and thought about that. Anything I've ever brought to God, does He go, oh, now that's big. I'm really going to have to work hard on this one. This one's going to make me sweat there, Pastor Gilball. Okay? What's God say? I can do. That's easy. That's just the little stuff. So again, when G. Campbell Morgan gave that answer, can you think of anything in your life that's big to God? We need to bring it all to God, big or small. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Number one, let's watch out for worries in our lives and trust in a big God. Number two, now that we're trusting in a big God, let's be people of prayer. Let's bring everything right to God's throne. Brings me to number three, does it not? We're promised God's incomparable peace when we pray. If you look there at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, you'll notice what it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. Peace comes from the God who is never subject to anxiety because He's the sovereign, omnipotent, creator, and Lord of the universe. Again, if anything I hope you see in this sermon, I hope you see even better than you ever have the great God that we serve. And we don't have to worry about things. Again, there's a few things that if you look at this statement, again, He's sovereign, He's omnipotent, again, He's omniscient. I guess I should have put that in there. When did you ever think you heard God say, you know what, I didn't see that one coming? God never says that. The other word that God never says is what? Oops. He's got it all under control. Well, Pastor Rick, I'm telling you that I just did not see this coming around the corner, and I'm taken by surprise here, and even I'm feeling a little anxious right now. Really? I go to a God that, you know what, none of this takes Him by surprise at all. And again, as I kind of put this down here, okay, it's God's peace. It's humanly not explainable, okay? It's humanly not explainable. When you get a relationship with God that is so close, that is so dear, when the rest of the world is worrying about things and wondering where to turn, what to do, we've got a God that what? Can take care of everything. I don't know. There used to be some big words in our society that used to scare us, and now we've just replaced them with some different words. Okay? I don't know. I've been watching TV. What's one of the scariest words on TV right now? Does anybody know what it is? Obamacare. We're all scared. Okay? All you people over 65, they just want you to die off, I hear. I don't know. And they're going to help you, they say. I don't know. Okay? All the rest of us, they're going to charge us so much money we can't pay for anything. We don't know what's going to happen. We're all scared. Are you? I'm not. God's going to take care of us. I don't know how He's going to do it. Don't have the slightest idea. But He's going to do it. And so again, I just can't explain God's peace in a time that's so terrible. God's going to take care of us. You just have to trust that, and it's not explained. If somebody looks at you and said, why aren't you scared? I don't know. Because God's helping me. He's given me peace. And the God of peace, okay, He'll give us that peace. He'll keep our hearts and our minds. Again, He'll keep our hearts and our minds. I kind of thought about that word and just thought, you know what? That's our entire being. God's just going to take care of us. So I can sleep at night. So I can go through a day and not keep looking back over my shoulders, though something terrible is going to hit me or whatever. Again, Paul here is talking about an ongoing, deepening, intimate relationship with the God of peace. And when you establish that through prayer and talking to Him every day, again, He's going to keep us. I just put these questions down. I wrote them. It's my conclusion and I'm done. Do you know God's peace in the midst of a situation that the world gets anxious about? If not, examine yourself. Is your faith in Him and your focus on His kingdom rather than on selfish pursuits? Have you drawn near to God in reverent, specific, thankful prayer? And you can trust on Him, He will bear you up and give you His indescribable peace. Folks, if you're on this airplane that's called God, just put all your weight down. He's got it handled. You're going to get to your destination because Jesus is enough. Father, I pray that You would help us to trust You, not to worry. And Lord, even if You do put us in some terrible situations, as You did some of the saints of the Bible, Lord, You're enough. Lord, if we find ourselves in a fiery furnace, You're there. Lord, if we get down into a den of lions, You're there. If we're out on the battlefield with a Goliath, You'll take care of us. But even, Lord, we know in Hebrews chapter 11 that some people go through torture. Some people may die a martyr's death. But even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, You're still there. Jesus is all we need. Lord, You'll watch over us. Help us to put our entire trust in You in scary situations. And then, Lord, I pray that You'll be faithful like You promised. And You'll give us that peace that passes all understanding. We need that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Close this morning with hymn number 206, standing as we sing the first and last verses of What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
what peace we are.